1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I want you to notice verse 11 as my text this morning, this Father's Day. It says, "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children." The title of my message today is this, "As a father doth his children." As a father doth his children. Why? Verse 12. "That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." There are three things in verse 11 that a father is clearly taught that he should do for his children. And we will use those as a three-point outline. I'll try to use the letter C to alliterate to maybe help us remember it as dads a little bit better, and I hope that you dads can, or granddads, can apply this to your life today for this Father's Day message. Now, before the rest of you shut me off, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Someone might say, "Well, I'm a lady. I've never been married," or, "I'm a young man, I've never been married, never had children, I'm not a father, so I get the morning off." Well, I want you to notice something here, that you can take the message, and if you'll use your head today and your heart, you'll be able to translate the message into a different arena of your life, I hope. So use your head today while I'm talking to the fathers, because this applies to every lady, every teenager, every boy, every girl, every widower, widow, whatever. It says in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 4, "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many," what's the next word? "Fathers." Now notice the colon. That's the two dots over each other. That means the statement that's going to follow is going to define what was just said. It says, "Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ," in other words, this church, everybody wanted to be a teacher, "yet have you not many fathers." Now it defines what that means, and here's the words, "For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Now what does the word begotten mean? What does the word begotten mean? To give birth to someone else. It says that you and I, how? Through the gospel. You see it in verse 15? Through the gospel, you and I can give birth, spiritual birth, to other people. We are born again when we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you become that person's spiritual father. You understand that? I don't care if you're a lady. You become a spiritual father to somebody that you lead to Christ. And I hope you're all doing that. It's the job of every believer in Jesus Christ. Now, we have different gifts and callings inside of the local church, but witnessing is not a calling. It is a commandment. And every one of us, if we'll be faithful at witnessing, will eventually lead someone else to Christ. And we then become that person's spiritual father. So you don't get the morning off. Let's go back to our text, 1 Thessalonians 2. So whether you want to look at this as literally fathers or as spiritually fathers in Christ, I'm going to speak to the fathers that are here literally. But the rest of you, please let the Holy Spirit interpret it into your follow-up of those you lead to Christ. And three things you need to do for those you lead to Christ. And some of you are staring at my hand. I got a little poison ivy there. That's what that is again. So I'm just trying to stop the using there. But going back to our text, 1 Thessalonians 2:11, "And as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged." Notice three things there. "Every one of you as a father doth his children. So you that are fathers, especially you that are fathers of younger children, and especially you young men maybe or unmarried that have not yet gotten married, but you're going to become fathers someday. You need to file this away. So when you become a father, you'll know what is expected of you. Notice three things are expected of us as fathers. Number one is exhort. As ye know how we exhorted, number one, and comforted, number two, and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Now the word exhort means to call. It means to call. So number one, fathers need to call. That is, they need to call their children. This word exhort refers to calling someone to you in the sense of wanting them to be near you so you can instruct them. Now, you fathers, especially you fathers of younger children, you have more influence on your little boys and girls than President Bush does, than Pastor Cole does, than God does. You could influence your kids to be atheists. That's how powerful your position. In fact, God, when he wrote his word, said the glory of children are their fathers. He did not say, I'm the glory of children. You think about your upbringing. What Dad was interested in is what you were interested in. His influence was greater. If Dad didn't take you to church, you didn't go to church. Unless you had some caring neighbors or bus workers or something that came through your town and tried to help you. Sometimes I wonder what would have happened to me if my dad hadn't taken me to church. I know I'd have never gone. Now God's influence is greater in my life than Dad's. But Dad wisely, when he was saved, realized the power of his influence. And he read the scriptures to me and my brothers. He prayed with us. He took us to church. He got involved in the local church. He got involved in the city mission in Buffalo. He got involved in the Grace and Hope mission in Buffalo. He got involved in gospel sign evangelism and working out at the Erie County Fair every year and soul winning. He took us to Houghton College where we studied personal evangelism. He had us memorize scripture all week and then we had to quote it in the car on the way to church every Sunday. You see, my dad, when he got saved, began to use his profound influence in my life. The glory of children are their fathers. If a father wants nothing to do with God, and he leads his little children into, and it might not even be something bad, but he leads his children into an infatuation and fondness for sports, or fishing, or hunting, or whatever it is. That's usually what that kid becomes interested in. That's usually what that kid thinks is important in life. The influence of fathers is powerful. And so God gives us instructions here to use that influence. Now there came a day in my life when I got to be about 20 or 21 or something where God's influence, and I finally had to come to a few decisions in my life where, you know, the Bible says when you get married, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. I had to leave Dad. And then when I was 26 and God called me, he called me earlier, but to start this church, he led us to start this church and everything, I finally had to go to my dad that I was working with in business, and I finally had to say, Dad, I'm sorry, I cannot work with you anymore. God's called me into the ministry, and that was a very difficult, strained time between him for a little while. And now he's as happy as can be about it. But at that time, I have to say, God's influence is greater than Dad's influence. It's See, and Jesus did teach us that there comes a time when two things call us away from our fathers. One is marriage, and the second is the calling of God on our lives. And he says we got to leave father and mother and houses and lands and so on and so forth for Christ's sake and for the gospel. It doesn't mean I still don't love and honor my dad and everything, but so he was wise in that he used that influence when those kids look up to dad like he's it. And you've all seen this before. Boy, dad can do no wrong. That dad then wisely needs to use that influence and do three things. Number one, call. That's what the word exhort means. Let me define the word exhort here. The word exhort means to call to a person. I'm reading out of Vine's dictionary here. To call to a person. It comes from a word parakaleo, which is a Greek word. It doesn't mean anything to us. But it does sound similar to the word that's used to describe the Holy Spirit called parakletos. Now, when we study the Holy Spirit, we know in our doctrine that we always say the Holy Spirit is what? One called alongside to help. That's what the word means. The Holy Spirit is one called alongside to help. God has given us His Holy Spirit to live inside of our bodies. And you and I, as believers in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, not so we can ignore Him, but so He can help us. He calls us. He desires to be close to us so He can help us. Now that's the word exhort here, or it's almost the exact same word. Exhort, it means to call to a person. To admonish or urge one to pursue some course of conduct, always prospectively looking to the future. So it is the picture here, number one, that every father should want his children near him so he can help prepare them for the future. That's the word exhort. That's the word exhort. In Acts chapter 28, I'll read this for you. The same word is translated desired. Let me read it. In Acts 28 and verse 14, it says, "When we found brethren, we were desired to tarry with them." The same word as exhort. We were desired to tarry. When we found some brothers, boy, we wanted to be with them. Why? So they could help them. So they can help them. Every one of us fathers need to have a mentality that we want our children close to us so we can help them. Dr. Ron Williams used to say, keep your children close. Keep your children close. Don't let your children stay overnight at everybody's house. Don't let your children run with all the neighborhood kids. Don't let your children get involved in every single activity the community and the school offers. Dr. John Rosen wrote a great article at one time. It's called, and I got it in my office. You want to read it? He said, sports time is not family time. And it's not. That thing is splitting up families like crazy in this country. And getting children just to spend their whole life with their peers in school, in community organizations, in sports, and taking away the influence of the father. The word exhort here is speaking about a desire to have our children close so we can help them. Not so we can isolate them or make them snobs, but so we can help them for their future. Fathers need to have a desire for their children. The same word, Acts 28 and verse 20, says this, "For this cause therefore have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you." That word called in Acts 28 and verse 20 is the same word exhort in our text. I called for you to see you and to speak with you. That's what fathers need to do. They need to call for their children. They need to call for their children. Their fathers ought to be always rounding up their children. Fathers should want their children close so they can impart to them some gift. We should not be fathers who say things to our kids like, "Get away from my tools. Go run and play now." go outside, or whatever. We should want them around. I know it takes twice as long to get the job done when they're helping. But they are our job. Not fixing the car, not mowing the lawn. If you got to go twice as slow on your lawnmower while your daughter or son sits on your lap and helps you drive, and you missed a spot here and you missed a spot here, and you got to go back and it takes you twice as long. And you know, if you're too busy for your kids, you're too busy. They are your ministry. They are your calling. You are the pastor of your home. Keep your kids close. Not to be possessive, but to, with that short time you have, teach them and influence them and love them. Exhort means to call in close, to admonish them, to urge them, to influence them. Every father on earth ought to have the desire to be the greatest influence in his children until God takes over and becomes their greatest influence. And God has so instinctively put it in children. The glory of children are their fathers. That's why so many people grow up in older age with so many internal issues because of their fathers. I counsel with people in their 40s and their 50s and their 60s who still got internal issues and bitterness and anger and all kinds of problems because their fathers never spent time with them. Never gave them the blessing. Never gave them the praise that they needed. As a father doth his children. My kids are all in their 20s, but I still love when they're close to me, and I don't have as much influence on them anymore. Dr. Hiles had such a great theory on this. And it's not in the scriptures or anything, but he used to say that from the time your child is born till they're 5 years old, they need their parents 100% of the time. From the time they're 5 to 10, they need their parents 75% of the time. From the time they're 5 or 10 to 15, they need their parents 25% of the time. And then from the time they're 15, I got something wrong there. 15 to 20, that's 25, and take it back, 50 and so on. This is after they're 20. He used to say, your influence on them is very little anymore. And you have got to seize and embrace. I don't know how old your kids are. I'll try to get the formula right next time. But try to figure out where your kids are, Dad, and then try to keep them close during that time. You know, if they go to a friend's house, let it be for an hour or two. Those friends are going to introduce them to things you don't believe in. And they're going to watch things there you don't believe in. They're going to listen to things there you don't believe in. And they're going to talk about things they shouldn't talk about. And pretty soon the heart of that child is going to be transferred from their father. You know, it says in Proverbs, "Son, my son, give me thine heart. Give me your heart." But you know, we spend so much time, the world's just designed that way, where you spend time with school and your peers and organizations in the community with your peers and sports with your peers and everything, that pretty soon that heart is transferred right out from Dad and given to the peers. And that's not where you want your heart to be. Your peers will get you in trouble more than anybody. That means your age group. Number two is comfort. Exhorting or calling your children close to you is with a perspective of the future. Number two, comfort is helping your children with the past. Helping your children with the past. Now, of course, if they're little kids, it's the very recent past. But this word comfort now in verse 11 says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charge every one of you as a father doth his children. Notice every father should comfort his children as a father doth his children, you know. Don't let it be that when the kid scrapes his knee, the first one he bolts for is mom. It's okay, Dad, to get down on your knees and put your arms around him and tell him it's going to be okay. We don't have to say, oh, go grow up and be a man. Go see your mother. No fathers are commanded right here to comfort their children. Now, this word comfort means to calm, to console, to encourage, in the sense of giving incentive. Our children, we want our children to become doers and participants in life, not spectators. Fathers should encourage their children through comfort to reach their potential. Fathers should encourage their children to try many things. Now, and here's where you need to understand this, dads, about comfort. Everything we try, we fail at first. Would you agree with that? Everything you try, you fail at first, and thus that gives every father an opportunity to comfort, console, and encourage. For instance, riding a bike, learning to read, learning to write, learning an instrument, learning to cook, learning to mow a lawn, learning to change a tire, learning to make a bed, learning to do laundry. Whatever it might be, there are so many little things in life that we have to learn. And every one of them presents an opportunity for that child to fail. And thus it gives every father an opportunity to comfort and to encourage. You see, wouldn't it be great if some boy or some girl growing up attempted 100 different things, and later on in life, they remember that every time they tried something and failed, it was Dad who encouraged them, go on, try it again. Wouldn't that be a great thing? It'd be a great thing. Kids will do so much to please their mother, or their father, rather. They'll do so much to please their father. Even if the guy is the worst father on earth, there's still something about them that wants, they want to please their father. They hope one day, just maybe once before he dies, he'll bestow the blessing on his son or on his daughter. What is the blessing? The blessing is Daddy's praise. Just once. Not a lot do that for their mothers. Thank God for mothers. The power of dad's praise is called comfort. When they fail, when they spill milk, when they wet the bed, when they try to fix something and it breaks worse, when they do bad on a test, when they fail the road test, when they get caught doing something wrong, when they lose in a game, they lose a contest, they misspell a simple word in a spelling bee. They fall while riding a bike. They come in last in a running race. The attitude for the rest of their life is in their dad's hands at that moment. And what dad does that moment will profoundly influence what that child will attempt for the rest of their life. If dad scolds them, if dad tells them you're no good, you're worthless, you can't do anything right, the kid is going to believe him. And the next time something happens that they must do for the first time, they'll say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to fail. Dad's going to look down on me again. See, the Holy Spirit comes into the believer not to condemn us. But when we're saved, He comes in to help us. He is our comforter. He is our paracletos. He is the one who is called alongside to help. He is the one that picks up the believer hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times after he sins and falls into some temptation and brushes him off and tells him, go on, go on. and walk with God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And fathers, you are the comforter in that child's life. You are the one that needs to pick up your little boys and your little girl time after time after time after time. And when they say, I can't do it, you say, you can. Let me help you. Let me show you how. And then they do it, and then you say, see, you can do it. And then the next thing they face in life, they'll say, you know, I can do it. And they'll have a can-do-it attitude the rest of their life. It's in your hands, Dad. Comfort. We must comfort our children. Look at Ephesians 6 and verse 4. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. When we think of that word nurture, we think of who? We think of a nurse. We think of a nurse. Nurses nurture. You know, our text there talks about comfort back in 1 Thessalonians. Don't turn there, but let me read a few verses earlier. 1 Thessalonians 2:7 says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, for you are dear unto us. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but you're not a good father until you've imparted your own soul to your children. Because you are dear to us. That's when you're a good father. When you've poured your soul in your child. And that requires being gentle as a nurse. There's nothing unmasculine about being gentle. David said about God, your gentleness has made me great. And you'll never have great children unless you're gentle with them. Now, I know you got to discipline. There's times when you got to spank them and everything. But even then, they ought to see tears coming down your eyes. Say, son, I don't want to do this. Honey, I don't want to do this. But you've got to learn to do right. You've got to be disciplined. You've got to have character. You have to do this. We've got to comfort our children. It says here, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, why? Look at Colossians. Colossians, chapter number 3. Colossians 3 and verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Why? Lest they be, anyone there? Discouraged. Provoke not your children to anger. That word provoke means to exasperate, to anger, to rouse, to wrath, to make them get mad. Don't provoke your children. Fathers, don't say things to your children like you're no good or you're worthless or you can't do anything right or you'll never amount to anything. Don't ever swear at them. Don't ever curse them. Don't ever belittle them. Ever. Ever don't do it. Don't let there develop a spirit in your home where the children sense that dad can never be pleased. Father said, this is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. He bestowed the blessing on Jesus Christ, his son. We ought to bestow the blessing on our children. I'm pleased with your son. Kid rides his bike 20 yards and falls. I'm pleased with your son 20 yards. Pleased with you. It's comfort. And those of you that had bad dads growing up, be careful about your spirit toward them. Because a lot of them never heard one sermon like this in their whole life. There's no daddy school you go to. You kind of teach yourself or you let God teach you. Maybe your dad just didn't know what he was doing. Maybe he needs to be saved. My dad didn't know what he was doing, and he got saved. And then light started coming into him. He started saying, I got to get my boys saved. Found a good church for us to go. Got us saved. So they need to know how to pray. He'd take us to prayer meeting. A lot of times it was me and a bunch of old men kneeling on my knees, and they prayed like, wow, these big prayers, and I'd be scared to death when it was my turn, going around a circle. I'm glad he did that. And had me play my trumpet in the missions, sing in the choir, memorize scripture, have to memorize the Beatitudes, and the Lord's Prayer, and Psalm 23, and Psalm 1, and Psalm 100, and had to, all the Ten Commandments, had to quote them on the way to church. Took us to evangelism classes. Took us to the Erie County Fair where we had to sit down with people leading to Christ. Thank God for a dad like that. He wasn't perfect. He was just growing as a babe in Christ at the same time I was. Comfort your children. Comfort your boys and girls. When they spill milk, that kids spill milk. That's what they do. It's written somewhere. You don't punish a kid for being a kid. You punish them for disobedience and rebellion and stubbornness. Spilling milk is being a kid. And then last of all, back in our text, notice number 3, charge. You see, exhortation or calling them to yourself, number 1, is so that you can help prepare them for the future. Comforting them, number 2, is so that you can help them with the past. It might be the recent past. They just fell and skinned their knee. Or they just failed a class in school. Maybe they weren't trying hard enough. Maybe they need a charge or something. We'll get to that in a minute. Because of them, they lost the game. Or he just can't play his instrument. Or she can't get it down or whatever. I can remember Rachel, man, with that violin. When she first started, I said, man, this is a horrific mistake. And I didn't tell her that, though. She's in New York City this morning, so don't tell her I said it. And you're like, it's like, you know, scratching a chalkboard or something. It's like, I felt like going in there, don't you hear that that's wrong? That's what I felt like saying, but I didn't. I just wait till it sounds a little better. I said, hey, that sounds better. What'd you do? Did you ever hear her play now? Number 3, charge. Charge. It says here in our text, and I'll close with this. It says, as you know how we exhorted, that's called them close and comforted and charged, every one of them. This is where we deal with the present. To give a charge means to give clear instructions for the present or near foreseeable future. When I was ordained, the preacher that day gave a charge. He gave a charge for the present, for the near foreseeable future. When a coach is in the Super Bowl, he gets the team around him before the game. He doesn't start talking about next fall's training camp. He gives them a charge right there. He says, now we got to remember what we learned. We got to stick with the basics. Well, I don't know what they say. I never played. But give them a charge before the game. And you need to charge your children. Dad, you got to say something. You might be as quiet as a mouse and not that profound of a leader, but you got to say something. Saturday night, kids, we're going to church tomorrow. Get your stuff ready. We're going to the store now. We used to do this with our kids. We're going to the store now. We're not buying anything for you. We've got a list here of things we're going to do. We've got to buy. We're going to the store. So don't start whining and crying and begging for this or that because we're not buying anything. Game of charge. All right. We'll go to the restaurant later. Girls, you're not going to date. Boys, you're not going to date. We're going to wait on God. We're going to concentrate on other things in our youth. We're going to keep ourselves pure and not alter our lives by a wrong decision. We're not going to listen to that kind of music. We're not going to use drugs. We're not going to allow alcohol. We're not going to undress when the warm weather comes. We're going to pray. We're going to have devotions. As soon as we're done eating, don't bolt for the doors here. We're going to open the Bible and read it for a few minutes and have a word of prayer. We're going to serve God. We're going to be givers. Son, we're going to respect women. Ladies, we're going to respect men. We're going to look at them as God's creatures, not objects. We're going to respect people. The word charge means to give revelation, to give inspiration. Inspiration. Fathers, give your children a charge, a revelation, some inspiration that they're going to need. Shed some light on what they are going to fall into in the near future. Okay. When you're 16, you get your permit. You're going to drive for a year on your permit. You're not going to take your road test until you've driven for a year until I'm satisfied that you're ready to take your road test. You understand? Yeah, sure. It's a charge. You gave a charge. As a father doth his children. As a father doth his children. Fathers, we need to exhort our children. Let's call them in close so we can give them instruction. That's why we watch TV all night. So we can give them instructions about life. Then we need to comfort them. We need to help them because everything they try, they're going to fail at first. And they just got to understand that's just what happens. You fail first. But you're not going to give up. And we'll create kids that when they're older, they'll try anything for God. See, if ultimately that's what we want. We want kids who want to try something for God. You know why some adults don't witness? Because they were so discouraged by their father growing up from doing anything, attempting anything. They just know they'll fail at it. Some of you struggle in your Christian life because you won't do this, you won't do this, you won't tithe, you won't witness or anything because you have had so many failures in your life, you just don't want to fail at anything else. Service. God's calling some of you to ministries, but for years you put up a wall and say, no, 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 I'm not doing that. Because your dad never dealt with your failures the right way. You need to comfort dads, and you need to charge. Give them instructions. Whatever you're facing in life that day or in the near future, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to do, that's what we're going to do. It'd be nice if they grew up and said, you know, Dad guided us. And eventually God comes in, God takes over. Isn't that the truth? Eventually God wants to just take over. I'll take it from here. Did a good job. You trained him or her to attempt anything. I'll take it from here. Now I got some special things. You're not going to believe what I'm going to do with your kids. Or you can so damage their psyche, they won't do a thing but sit in a church pew the rest of their life and accomplish nothing. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray now for thy blessing on this time of invitation. We pray that the Holy Spirit would help us to implant this truth. Lord, some here are young fathers, and Lord, they still have a great chance. Some of these men are not fathers yet at all, but will be someday. Lord, thank you for a book that we can read that is so clear in its instructions on what a father should do. Lord, others have older children, but it's not too late to start doing these things. So help us as fathers. Help us as soul winners to be spiritual fathers. And once we lead someone to Christ, to try to keep them close to us so we can instruct them, to comfort them when they fail as a babe in Christ, and then to exhort them on what to do next. So whether it's a spiritual application or a literal application, Lord, help us maybe just to fill this altar now with decisions being made So our next generation will charge into the Christian life like Paul and say, I can do all things through Christ. And have that positive attitude. Lord, the influence in the hands of fathers is profound. God help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.